Welcome to the launch service. This is a very special Sunday. We're very happy you came here to worship with us and to hear the Word of God this morning. Before we get started, I do want to run over the announcements. You'll find them in your bulletin if you flip around. There's not a Sunday that we don't have something special going on here. We always have something special. So obviously next Sunday is a very, very special Sunday. And we, as a staff, as a church, we've worked really hard to make it special as it's Pastor Mary's last Easter here. It's going to be an amazing time. So please bring a friend, invite your family, and come worship with us. But the Sunday after that, just after Easter, it's not like we don't have anything going on. On April 28th is Confirmation Sunday. So that's going to be a really exciting time. And then the next Sunday, we honor our high school seniors. On Senior Sunday. So keep coming. I mean, there's such an amazing family here at Asbury, and I'm so excited to celebrate all of those special people. Also, the bake sale that you've probably seen when you came in. Please support our United Methodist Women. It's one of their biggest fundraisers. They do amazing work. And honestly, that stuff looks really, really good. So go get some good sweets and support the United Methodist Women. At this point, please stand and greet each other, greet those around you, and sign the registry for your attendance, and we're going to worship together this morning. So we're not a perfect church, but what we do is we worship God every Sunday, and we do it through singing and lifting our hands or praying. And this morning, worship however you want to worship, but let's do it together.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
worship with us this morning. The Lord Almighty, and we know the answer, it's nobody. Sing it out, oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Nobody can. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Sing with your voice. Well, our God is the Lion. The Lion of Judah. He's done for us. You may be seated. This time we'd like to invite the children to come forward for a very special children's moment with Pastor Mary.
Hi there. What's today?
Palm Sunday.
And this is the week before
Easter Sunday.
That's right. That's right. You all are 3 for 3. Or I lost count. Anyway, you got everyone of them right. Okay. So you did a great job. Bringing the palms forward. Thank you very much. And you know why you did that rather than they did that? Because there's a wonderful song that is in our United Methodist hymnal. And the second verse talks about the children waving palm branches because they did. So I want to ask you a really important question. And I bet there's not too many sitting in our congregation that knows the answer. So if you know the answer, wow. Why did they wave palm branches and not pine branches, olive branches. Aubrey? Palm branches are a sign of royalty. That's a very good answer. Not quite the answer I'm looking for. It doesn't mean that it's a wrong answer. I just didn't know that answer. Okay? Anybody else? Okay? Palm branches are more important to the Lord. Kind of. Because, can anybody out there tell me what a palm branch represents?
Jesus.
Here, let me hear it one more time. Victory. Now, does anybody know what victory is? If you scored a victory, what'd you score?
You won.
Now, what did Jesus win? Huh? Oh, he did. He didn't win a prize, but he won over death. He canceled out sin, your sin and mine. He is the victorious King of our lives, right?
Yes.
When you say He is your Savior, then you're saying He's a victor, right? He's my victor every day, and I'm so grateful. So I want you to have one of these palm branches. Here you go. All righty. Here you go. I'm going to do these two at a time. So here, take one and give him one back there. There you go. Hand one back there. Here you go. Would you hand that to him? Here you go. Okay, here you go. Everybody got one? Okay, right there. No. Okay, here we go. We'll do this more quickly. Okay, take one and pass one to the person next to you. Okay, here you go. Kayla? Yeah? There you go. All right. Ooh, I got you in the eye. You know that happened. I'm so sorry. That happened to me first service. Okay. Now, you've got these palms. You're not going to stick your brother or sister with them, are you?
No.
Okay. You're not going to try to tickle your mom or dad, are you?
No.
What we're going to do is let's all together praise the Lord with them. Praise Jesus. We're there in Jerusalem that day. Praise Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. I heard a hallelujah. There you go. Okay, let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Jesus, our Lord. We're so thankful that He is victorious over the grave. And next week, we celebrate that victory in resurrection. So, God, we thank You for our King Jesus. May we love Him this day and forevermore. And thank You for these children, as so often they teach us as we try to teach them. We thank You that we are all called the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Please stand with us and continue to worship this morning.
Christ is my reward in all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back. I've been set free, 'cause Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in You. Everything I need. Joy of my salvation, and this hope will never fail. Heaven is our home. Through every storm, my soul will sing, Jesus is here. To God be the glory. Everything I need is in You. Everything.
out this morning, if you've decided to follow Jesus, just proclaim that today. Sing like this.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Sing that again. I've decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
The cross before me.
The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Because Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in Him. Oh, everything I need.
Sing it again.
Christ is enough. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. There's no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Amen. You may be seated.
It's always so good to be together as the body of Christ in prayer. Last week in the bulletin, for those of you that were here, you had the opportunity to fill out a little small slip of paper that was inserted in the bulletin. And there were two things there, prayer requests and prayers for sins or certain struggles that you were dealing with. I hope you have taken note that those sins and struggles and prayers have been nailed to the cross. Let us go to God in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, with such a visual before us this morning, we are reminded that you took to that cross our sins, our troubles, our heartaches. And as the palm branch indicates, you are victor over them all. So God, we give you thanks and praise. We are confident in your victory, that whatever we share with you, you receive. You take them, you transform them. But you ask one thing of us. You ask that when we take them to you, that we do a final release. That we don't, at the last minute, take them back. But that we release them to you, into your eternal love and grace. Knowing that we don't have to worry because you're with us. And you have our concerns. And you will do something great, something blessed, because we have trusted you. So God, you are so great, and we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, whom we especially recognize today as the victor in our lives. So God, in that victory, we ask that you receive our sins as we confess our sins. We ask that you use us as your servants for King Jesus. We ask that you take care of each and every one May we be mindful of others' needs as much as we are of our own. And Father, help us to help your kingdom, to help it grow, to comfort the people of your kingdom, to lead the people of your kingdom to be greater disciples, and to offer our lives in dedication to you. We pray this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You'll also find today is the final Sunday in which to turn in a request to buy a lily in honor or memory of someone. So when the offering plate is passed to you, if you would put those in there as you'd like, and those will be honored. And next Sunday when you come here, the stage and the altar will be adorned with lilies in memory and honor of those whom we love. Let us now pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in which we give our gifts. We thank you for the resources you've blessed us with. And we are so grateful now to offer these gifts to you. We're excited to know how you will use them for the various ministries of not only this church, but the church universal. So God, thank you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yesterday, I traveled to Fayetteville to have one of my best friends get married, and it was my first time as a groomsman, and he was in our vocal group, so he asked Will and I to sing at his wedding. It was an amazing ceremony, very Christ-centered, and they took communion, and we sang this next song yesterday, and I'm very thankful for the talented volunteers of the launch band who were comfortable with this change. But as I was listening to it, it's a well-known song, a great wedding song. It's called Love Never Fails. And I was just thinking about the love, the immeasurable, the unconditional love that it took Jesus to die on the cross for us, and how appropriate it was for today. So I didn't go to seminary or anything like that, but I know that love never fails. I know loving somebody is never a bad thing. This is called Love Never Fails.
Love is not proud, love does not boast, love after all matters the most. Love does not run, love does not hide, love does not keep locked inside. Love is the river that flows through, and love never fails you. And love will sustain, love will provide, love will not cease at the end of time. Love will protect, love always holds, love still believes when you don't. Love is the arms that are holding you, love never fails. The sky is falling down, Love is right here. Love is alive. Love is the way, the truth, the life. Love is the river that flows through. Love is the arms that are holding you. Love is the place you will fly to. Love never fails you.
Pray with me. Father God, love never fails. You tell us that. We often forget it. Those that we love can hurt us the most. But that doesn't mean love has failed. People aren't perfect. We aren't perfect. And you love us through it. God, we ask that you help us love others through their imperfections. And that we give grace as you do. And God, we ask for your forgiveness, for not thanking you enough, for sending your son to die for us. Today and every day, help us remember that. Be with Pastor Mary as she comes forward, delivers her message. And open our minds and our hearts to your word. God, let it change us today. We pray this all in your holy name. Amen.
This morning, on this Palm Sunday, I wish to share with you from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 28 through 40, the wonderful story of this historic ride. May the people of God be blessed in the hearing and reading of God's holy word. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount there called Olivet, he sent down two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it as the Lord had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their garments on the colt, they sat Jesus upon it. And as he rode along, they spread their garments on the road. And as he was now drawing near at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees and the multitude said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if they were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" Word of God for the people of God. So, have you ever been at a place in your life that can best be described as bittersweet? I mean, on the one hand, you've got something that's really blessing your life. On the other hand, you have something that's also greatly blessing your life that you feel that you should set it aside so that you can go on to something of greater importance or somewhere where there is a greater need, perhaps. I mean, let's think about our careers. This happens all the time. I mean, you're presented an opportunity. You just make the decision, hopefully a prayerful decision, that you're going to change jobs. What does that involve? It involves a move, leaving people you care about in your community, maybe a home that you've enjoyed for a long time, just making those changes that you understand that need to be made so you can then go on to the greater challenge. Or perhaps just That gives us a glimpse, you see, of what Jesus was experiencing that day in Jerusalem so long ago. The scriptures tell us he went up to Jerusalem. Now that detail, up, is in there for a reason. Because he was leaving Jericho, which was 850 feet below sea level, and was going to Jerusalem, 2,100 feet above sea level, which was quite a trek. He stopped at Bethphage, a suburb of Jerusalem, and then went right on into Bethany, where he often visited because his dear friends, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, lived there and quite often offered hospitality to him. Jesus then looked to the villages ahead, and he gave instructions to two of the disciples. Now, we don't know which two, and I don't suppose it really matters, or surely the Word of God would have included that for us. So two disciples go forward with these specific instructions. Go into the village where you'll find a colt, never ridden, untie it, bring it here. If someone asks you about it, say, the Lord needs it. Now think about this. This almost seems a little bit supernatural. I mean, we are dealing with the Son of God, so that's not too unexpected. But just think about this. Jesus, fully human, somehow knows that the disciples can go into a village, and in this particular village, they're going to find randomly tied up outside someone's dwelling a colt. And not just any colt, mind you, a new ride. One that has never been ridden. Now, this was Jesus we were talking about, so let's think about this. These villages around Galilee, we know that Jesus frequented them often. I mean, you read the Gospels and he's all over the place. So, with that understanding, he goes into villages. He teaches as no other teacher has ever taught before. He does miracles that no one has ever even thought about doing before. And he befriends people, because that's who Jesus is. He's one who is in relationship with you. He is one in relationship with anyone who is open to be in relationship with him. And so he makes all of these friends, many of whom were probably beneficiaries of these miracles and of these teachings. And so if you're Jesus and you've done these things and you've made these relationships, no doubt on more than one occasion, and probably more often than not, these people who befriended Jesus, who admired Jesus, who were grateful to Jesus, said, Lord, if you ever need anything, you just let me know. So no doubt, you see, when the disciples said to their question, why are you untying this colt? And they did as Jesus told them to do, the Lord is in need of it. Well, they freely gave up their colt for Jesus, the Lord. Now, that'll preach. The Lord is good to you, right? Amen? I mean, the Lord is really good to you, right? Amen? And if you're like me, which you're not, but yes, you are, because we're all in this thing called humanity, more than likely, you've been a beneficiary of one of Christ's miracles, right? Sure you have. Sure you have. And so, if the Lord is asking any of you, as the Lord will ask me, something that he needs, well, you're going to do it, right? I hear a little hesitancy. There you go. I know why the hesitancy. Sometimes you wonder if it's the Lord asking you to do it, or you just really want to do it. Or if the Lord's asking you to do it, or somebody else is asking you to do it. Or if what he's asking you to do involves sacrifice and inconvenience. Maybe that would explain the hesitancy. But this, remember, is the Son of the God who created you and can take you out. You might remember that. So the Lord needs you. What does he need? Well, maybe he needs you to bring someone to know Jesus Christ. And you say, oh, everybody I know already goes to church. Then make some new friends. Maybe he needs you to share your resources with somebody that has fewer. Maybe he needs you to give up a little bit of time to do a spiritual endeavor, an act of service. The Lord needs for you to do this. Now, the big question is, do you do it? This story appears in all four Gospels. But Luke and Mark don't specifically tell us about the donkey. They don't tell us about the fulfillment of prophecy, because that's what this is all about. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. Hear these words, as recorded in Matthew and John. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Why is it so important that Jesus ride not only on a donkey, but on a new donkey, a new ride? Well, the donkey was domesticated in Mesopotamia, 3rd century B.C., and it was known as an animal of strength. It was also known to be used by non-military personnel. And yet the scriptures tell us to ride on a donkey was not beneath noblemen or kings. In fact, King David indicates his choice of Solomon to be king by saying these words in 1 Kings 1:32 through 40, decreeing the young man that I choose will ride my mule, the king's own mule. So Jesus told then the disciples that the donkey must be one that has never been ridden upon. It's set apart, if you will. When we offer Holy Communion, the elements have not been touched. You're not drinking from little plastic cups that someone else drank from. You're not having bread that somebody else grabbed a piece of. They're consecrated. The words of institution of Jesus Christ are read over them, and they are untouched until we break bread in this sacrament. That was the Jewish way to give the greatest honor to Messiah, was to set it apart, consecrate it for a specific use. And that specific use was for the master, the king's use. Now, it was Jewish tradition that not only should no one else ride this animal, but the king. But it's fascinating to me that in the scriptures, you have this gentle king riding a donkey into Jerusalem. And it's this same king, Jesus Christ, who in Revelation 19 is described as the Christ that is riding in on a white war horse. Yet on this day, Jesus didn't want to ride in on a powerful war horse. They already had decided he was a militant king. He was trying to change that message. He was trying to help them get it right. He was not coming with that kind of power. He was coming with resurrection power. So this king, Jesus, rides in on a never-ridden colt. And he ushers in the peace of Christ on that road to Jerusalem. Now, I find that interesting again, because we began this journey with Jesus at the manger. And another prophet named Isaiah said, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, what? Prince of Peace. The people, no doubt, recognized Jesus as King. When they spread out their precious garments, when they laid out a carpet of palm leaves, they were doing their best to make it a nice, smooth path for Jesus. And they were doing this in keeping with the Jewish custom of how a king should be treated. Before a king was to take their journey, his servants would go out and they would clear a road for the king. And that road would be cleared of brush that may have been blown in the wind. And that road would have been cleared of any rock that might have fallen from the mountain, the boulders or whatnot. And all of that would have been painstakingly cleared away to create this smooth, royal pathway for the king. For example, in 2 Kings 9:13, there is the crowning of Jehu, the king. And this pathway is made clear for him. But along with a shout and blast of the trumpet announcing Jehu is king, they said, Jehu is king. So similarly, but differently, we have in Jerusalem on that day toward Passover week, Jesus Christ entering the city of David, the city of Zion. It has lots of different names. The capital city of Judaism, if you will. The city. Watch the crowds. Listen to them. The scriptures say a multitude gathered. Now I want you to think about what a multitude meant in that day. We already know by some of the miracles Jesus performed, a multitude could have been 4,000 to 5,000 people, like the time he fed them. He fed them 4,000 at one time, and another time later on, he fed 5,000. So this was more than what might be gathered in this room today. These were thousands of people. The noise is deafening. Hosanna, hail to the King of Kings. Hosanna, hail King Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then over to the side, you notice them because they're dressed in finery, but yet they're isolated. And you've got the religious sect of the Pharisees. Oh, they've been busy. They're plotting. They have contempt for Jesus. They're plotting and campaigning to destroy Jesus because they don't like his popularity and they don't like his theology. They want people to pay penance, literally pay. They don't practice grace. They don't preach grace. All they know is keeping rules. While accountability is just as important as grace, we are human and we won't always be totally following those rules. That's why it's called grace, because we didn't do anything to earn it. So here they are, this little group of Pharisees. And they hear this noise. You can almost see them doing this. As if they drowned out, maybe it won't be real. Maybe they're not about to lose, you see, their way of religious life. They're fed up. So they yell out, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They couldn't stand to hear another voice say, "Hail, King Jesus." Jesus takes all of this in. He notices what they call him. They call him teacher. It's interesting to me that as you read through the Gospels, you'll see several different times that they addressed Jesus as Rabbi. Why? Because they wanted answers. They're trying to trap Jesus, and they're trying to approach him with respect. And they're asking theological, spiritual questions, trying to trap him. And they can't. But one-on-one, they're calling him Rabbi. But you get them in front of everybody, and they're not about to give him that respect. Teacher, tell your disciples to hush. Then Jesus comes with this magnificent reply. I tell you, even if they were quiet, the very rocks would cry out. Now, isn't that interesting that Jesus brings up rocks? Now, you know Jesus. He never brings up anything that there's not some meaning there. There's not some reason to it. Well, in Jewish religious understanding, rocks were created by God, but had a voice, but it was muted due to the sinful state of humankind. Yet Jesus is saying, in praise of Jesus, they would cry out. Not only in respect and love and praise for Jesus, but also crying out in agony at the state of the sin of the world. Well, that's the story of the very first Palm Sunday. And as with all scripture passages, I try to bring some points on home. First one is one I've just shared with you a few moments ago. When the Lord tells you to do something, you better do it. Why? Because simply your plan most likely is not the Lord's plan. Now I learned this the hard way. You're just like me in a lot of ways. You can be stubborn. You can have your head set on something. You can be dead set going in one direction. Jesus is going, nope, you need to go this way. But Lord, we should cry out, look how I've been blessed. Look at this opportunity for me. It's not about you. It's not about me. The plan that we're to follow is called God's will. And I'm going to tell you, you can save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of headaches if from now on you'll remember that. I believe the Bible over and over, especially in the Old Testament, calls the stubbornness of human beings being stiff-necked people. Jesus told the disciples to do something. He explained to them something that seemed pretty far-fetched, that they could go forward and find this brand new colt, and it would be given to them, a high commodity, a valued possession, and it would just be given. But the Lord told them to do it, and they did it. And the Lord didn't fail them because the Lord didn't tell anything but truth. Have a little talk with Jesus so you can listen to some truth. And secondly, you and I must be open to Jesus to make use of our positions and our possessions. Many in the community have got great positions. They are high up in organizations, high up in social circles, high up in esteem. Worked hard, got lots of possessions. Something has become apparent to me in the 7 years I've been here as your pastor. We had visitors on different occasions, and they didn't come back. And some I'm particularly thinking of that didn't come back. We couldn't offer them what they felt like they needed. It wasn't that we weren't friendly. It wasn't that we didn't have great programming and qualified staff and a beautiful facility. No. We couldn't do for them what a larger church could do. It could help them connect more greatly, economically, socially, politically. They chose a larger network, you see. Okay. But my question for all of us today is the greater connection. How are you connecting to Christ's purposes? Isn't that the purpose that matters? And then, as I think about today's passage, I mentioned possessions. Many of us have possessions that we clean up our closets, we clean up the garage, we clean up this or that, or we're tired of this or that. And so we give up our possessions. Well, you know, that's a little bit of the easier part of this. Sometimes it's too easy. Had a neighbor way 20-something years ago. Lived next door to where the parsonage was, and he lived with his grandparents. Been down on his luck. He was out there, you know, raking leaves or something. And Tony had come in from work and looked over the fence and saw him and waved to him. And he came in the house and he said, you know, so-and-so's got a jacket. Looks just like mine. I said, it is yours. Sometimes that's the easy thing, to give away the possessions to somebody in need. And then thirdly, the people that day were praising Jesus for the wrong reason. Militant king, militant Messiah, save Israel, save Judah, save us from wars, from enemies. They were praising Jesus, but they didn't understand. Praise for praise's sake can sometimes be empty. Affirmation is fine, but we must accept it with humility. Now, praise is not something I just give bucketfuls of every day. And if you've ever tried to give me a compliment, you'll say, you can't take a compliment, can you? I don't do that very well. And it's not that I'm trying to be super humble, but I probably do believe you're just being nice and I don't really deserve you to say something so nice. And so the staff knows that I am so grateful for their ministries. I mean, Laura, by golly, right before I leave, she did get that donkey in for me today. And we enjoyed it. And I'm so grateful. And she does a great job. And you know, every single week, do we not just absolutely love the music in Divine Worship Service under Diana and Caleb and the launch team in here? Right? There you go. But here's the thing. We need that music leadership. We need that portion of our worship of the Lord. We need that. But I'm here to tell you, I bet you join me. You don't go up to Caleb every week or any member of the launch team and say, hey, great set today, or hey, those songs were wonderful, or hey, that really moved me today. You don't do that every single week. And I don't think they would expect that. I don't think they even desire that. But here's the thing. There may be a song, just like there's a song, that touches my heart greatly, just really fills me up or pierces me, convicts me. And it may be an anthem in the divine services. It may be a praise song in here. And if I remember, I will be sure and go tell them that afterwards. I loved that. That really did something for my spirit today. But again, that doesn't happen every single week. Just like every single week, I don't get an atta girl for every sermon. I don't. And it's okay. Because you see, the songs, the message, everything, it's not about the one leading it. It's about the leader. It's for the glory of God. It is an honor to lead music. It is an honor to offer the word. It is a privilege and a blessing. So you give the glory to God if it does something for you. And another thing, this is really important to remember, that pain and joy can coexist. Why? Because that's life. That's life. There's not a person in this world, especially in this room, that doesn't understand that. Jesus came riding through the Jerusalem on a donkey. Everyone was shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." He was filled. Even if they misunderstood, he was filled that they were there, that they cared, that they believed in Jesus. He was filled, and he was filled with joy. But all the same, at the same time, he was filled with pain for knowing what awaited him in Calvary, just a few hours away. We have pain in our lives at every turn. I know that, and you know that. But I say this from the bottom of my heart. If we fixate on the pain, on the conflict, on the negative, we will never experience the joy that we were created to experience. And how do I know that? Because of a man named Jesus who walked in Jerusalem on a donkey. While people were hailing him king. And yet it was as if he already felt the nails. We have got to appreciate, yes, there will be pain. But if we truly lean on Jesus, our Savior and our Christ, we will allow his joy into our lives to overshadow and overcome the pain. That joy that has been behind you, that joy that is before you, that joy that is present, that joy that is within. Do you have the joy of Jesus Christ in you? It is my prayer that you do. Don't come to church. Come to worship Jesus and feel his joy. And finally, the greatest lesson of all is Jesus is king. Now, to be king means to be a ruler, to rule your heart, to rule your soul, to rule your life. And to rule means we are a servant to that ruler. Christ is the master, the ruler, the king. We are subservient, submissive, open, vulnerable to his will. Or as the disciples were so long ago, to that specific instruction. Now, I'd ask you if you were out on the street, just not that you were down and out on the street, but that you were just walking the street, walking the neighborhood, would someone know, just by looking at you, that Jesus is your king? Would someone coming into your home, and I don't mean that you've got crosses plastered on every wall and in the bookcases and on the coffee tables. I don't mean that. But I mean, would they come into your home and know right away, this is a Christian home? what do you need to do today to change that there will be no doubt whomever you see, whomever you know, that Jesus is King over your life? What's that going to take? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to invite the launch band to come forward now at this time as we go to our Lord Jesus in prayer. Let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, there's not a one of us here today that don't struggle. And yet you don't want us to be in pain. You want us to trust. You want us to truly recognize you as the source of our everything. Not just our Sundays. Not just when we pray. But Jesus, our King, wants to be King over all. Every aspect of our life. And Lord, if we're honest, we know that might be hard because we cling so much to what pleases us and what's convenient and what we think we want. But if we really love you, Jesus, we're going to turn things around and we're going to make you King of everything. Every thought, every action, every decision. So Lord, as we pray today, give us that strength, that resolve, that desire to truly make you King, and that all will know that you are King of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing song today as our launch band leads us in that. And if, as always, there's anyone today who would like to be received into the membership of Asbury, we can make that happen with not a problem at all. And if you'd like to come forward and to pray, we invite you to do that as well.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory. The King of Love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. There on the cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished, but not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens rolled? All hail, King Jesus. All King of Life was on the move. For in a cold, dark tomb, where our Lord was laid, one miraculous breath, and we're forever changed.
Hail King Jesus, rule our hearts, rule our lives. As we go out into the world, may there not be a doubt by anyone that knows us, anyone that sees us, anyone that talks to us, that you are our King. May we go in the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.